This is a special edition of Macro Voices with hedge fund manager Eric Townsend, the premier financial podcast targeting professional finance, high net worth individuals, family offices, and other sophisticated investors. Now, for this special edition of Macro Voices, here's hedge fund manager Eric Townsend.
Macro Voices Hot Topic, episode number 4, was recorded on January 27th, 2020. I'm Eric Townsend. The coronavirus outbreak that began in Wuhan, China in early December, and which has become known as 2019 NCOV, is the subject of today's podcast. Obviously, the most important aspects of this story are the humanitarian impacts on all of the people around the world being affected by this disease, and our hearts go out to everyone worldwide who has been affected directly or indirectly by the virus. But our job here at Macro Voices is to translate world events, even unfortunate world events like this one, into their likely impact on financial markets. So that will be the focus of today's podcast. I've spent most of the past weekend learning as much as I can about this situation and will share what I've learned in this short podcast. There is no guest today. It's just me. And I want to be crystal clear that I am absolutely not an expert on the subject of viral epidemiology. I'm simply doing my best to share what I've learned in researching this subject with our Macro Voices audience. We've scheduled Dr. Chris Martinson, a PhD in viral pathogen toxicology from Duke University, to join us on Thursday night's regularly scheduled Macro Voices podcast. So be sure to tune in for an update on Thursday night, by which time we should know much more than we do now. Needless to say, Dr. Martinson is many times more qualified than I am to opine on such matters. The executive summary is that I predict this virus will be more contagious than most people now expect, and that it will infect more people around the world than most have assumed. But there's good news in this story. It will also very likely be far less deadly than the SARS virus. So the outlook is for a very large number of people around the globe to be affected by this outbreak, but my expectation is that fears of the sky falling because everyone's going to die from the virus pandemic are completely misplaced. The vast majority of the people who contract 2019 NCOV will survive that experience. Most financial analysts seem obsessed with comparisons between 2019 NCOV and the 2003 SARS epidemic. SARS involved just over 8,000 cases and 800 deaths, and most analysts seem to be focused on the question of whether 2019 NCOV will be worse than SARS or not as bad as SARS. I think they're focusing on the wrong comparison. A better analog would be to the flu season that occurs every single year, with between 9 million and 45 million cases and between 12,000 and 60,000 deaths every single year, according to CDC estimates. All indications are that 2019 NCOV could cause 2020 to be a record bad flu season, with more cases and more deaths than a normal year. But the characteristics of 2019 NCOV are more in line with a really bad seasonal flu than a SARS-like epidemic, which involved an extremely high fatality rate and a relatively small number of cases overall. Perhaps the most important feature of 2019 NCOV to understand is one which few people seem to understand. It's called asymptomatic transmission. Simply put, this means that people who are infected by NCOV become contagious very quickly and can spread the virus to other people they come in contact with. But there's a long incubation period before any symptoms occur. What this means is that you can be infected with NCOV and you can be infecting other people you come into contact with that same NCOV virus for as long as a week before you even realize that you're sick yourself. And it could be as long as 2 weeks before your symptoms become bad enough that you feel inclined to seek medical attention, at which point you might then learn for the first time that you are yourself infected with 2019 NCOV. In contrast, SARS was only contagious after symptoms appeared, and that made it much easier to identify and quarantine people who were contagious. The contagiousness of a virus is measured by a figure called R0 or R0. This refers to the number of people a contagious person will infect if no precautions are taken to prevent such infection. And remember, with 2019 NCOV, the people who are contagious generally won't know they are contagious. So effective precautions are only likely to be undertaken after the epidemic grows to a scale, as it already has in China, where just about everyone in society is taking precautions to avoid infection from everyone they come into contact with. An R0 value of 1 means that each contagious person is likely to infect one other person in the community around them. An R0 of 2 means one contagious person will, on average, infect 2 other people in their community, and so forth. Now, the most contagious diseases, such as measles, have R0 values as high as 18, meaning that one contagious person will infect as many as 18 people around them unless precautions are taken to prevent such contagion. A Harvard University epidemiologist posted a Twitter thread this past weekend that began with the words, "Holy Mother of God," and declared that the 2019 NCOV virus had an R0 value of 3.8, which is even more contagious than SARS. But that thread brought considerable criticism from other scientists who said he was being alarmist. Within hours, the author of the thread acknowledged that the R0 value of 3.8 that he cited was based on a study of incomplete data, and that 2.5 may have been a more realistic figure. The bottom line is that all these figures are being clouded by the dubious reliability of all statistics sourced from the Chinese government, and scientists are not yet certain exactly what the R0 value is for 2019 NCOV. Initial indications are that it's probably between 2 and 5, and there's a very big difference between 2 and 5. So we just don't know yet how contagious this virus will be, but initial indications are that it will be quite contagious. The good news in this story is that the fatality rate for 2019 NCOV is currently being estimated between 3 and 4%. Now, that's compared to 11% for SARS. So the big picture conclusion here is to expect far more cases than SARS produced, but with a much lower fatality rate. The essential point to understand is that the containment strategy that was used for SARS is completely irrelevant to 2019 NCOV. SARS did not become contagious until after symptoms presented, and this made it possible to contain the outbreak using techniques like fever monitoring, where airport security personnel would measure the body temperature of every arriving passenger and quarantine those who arrived running a fever. Dr. Chris Martinson has opined that this practice, which is already being undertaken in airports in reaction to 2019 NCOV, will be completely, totally ineffective for NCOV because the vast majority of people who are carrying NCOV and transmitting it to other people around them don't yet have any fever or other symptoms. Dr. Martinson produced a short video about NCOV last week, and you can find the player link for that video on our homepage at macrovoices.com in the description of this podcast. We'll have a much more detailed update with Dr. Martinson on Thursday night's Macro Voices podcast. Now I'll discuss my own conclusions for what this is likely to mean for financial markets. The big disconnect I perceive is that most analysts seem to be focused on deciding whether NCOV will or will not be worse than SARS, but they seem to assume that either way it will have similar characteristics to SARS, a viral outbreak with a high fatality rate that in the very worst imaginable circumstance might result in a few tens of thousands of cases and at most a few thousand fatalities. As I explained before, I think they're looking at the situation the wrong way. NCOV is more likely to involve many, many more cases than SARS, perhaps millions or tens of millions of cases worldwide, but the fatality rate will be much, much lower than SARS. That translates to completely different economic and market implications than a SARS-like virus outbreak. NCOV has the potential to completely overwhelm medical facilities worldwide, something that was never a risk with SARS. But fortunately, the number of deaths will be much lower on a percentage basis. A worthwhile analogy to consider is that the news media tends to freak out over a plane crash where a few hundred people die suddenly and violently all at once. It always makes front page news. But meanwhile, more than 10,000 people die every single year in drunk driving accidents in the United States alone. Very few of those accidents make the news because they lack the shock appeal of a plane crash. Think of SARS like a plane crash. A relatively small number of people were affected, but a very significant percentage of them died. But like an isolated plane crash, the whole thing was contained. NCOV is more likely to make the 2020 flu season the most deadly on record, as if the police started giving drunk drivers a free bottle of whiskey instead of arresting them. So my advice to investors is to stop trying to figure out whether NCOV will be a big plane crash or a little plane crash. It will be neither. The seasonal flu kills more than 10 times as many people every single year than died from SARS. NCOV is more akin to a really bad year for seasonal flu, as opposed to the plane crash event characteristics of SARS. There doesn't appear to be any way to truly contain NCOV, short of either completely avoiding exposure to other people or taking precautions such as wearing N95-grade face masks at all times when interacting with other people. Because of asymptomatic transmission, the methods used in the SARS epidemic simply won't work to contain NCOV. It's likely that airline travel will slow down dramatically, at first as a result of voluntary choice not to travel. If the outbreak grows as quickly as some people fear, in the worst-case scenario, the only viable response may be a complete global travel ban, which could have unthinkable implications on certain industries. So the risk is of a potential global NCOV outbreak akin to a much worse-than-usual seasonal flu. The regular seasonal flu that we're all familiar with kills tens of thousands of people every single year. And it does that without crippling the global economy in any way. But there's a psychological factor that's very difficult to measure or anticipate. Nobody thinks twice about traveling or interacting with other people in society for fear of dying from seasonal flu. Of course, those deaths do occur, but they're not out of the ordinary, and they don't cause anyone to panic. So suppose, for sake of discussion, that NCOV results in a much worse flu season with twice the usual number of flu-related deaths. The exacerbation of the impacts of flu season by itself, quite frankly, is an economic non-event, even if tens of thousands of deaths were to occur. We already have tens of thousands of deaths every year from seasonal flu on a worldwide basis. But if there is a perception of heightened risk that affects human emotion, we could literally see the entire airline industry grind to a halt as the world panics and people are unwilling to travel, regardless of whether or not their fears are actually justified by logical analysis of the actual risks. The news media are certain to focus attention on NCOV-related deaths, unlike the tens of thousands of annual deaths from seasonal flu, which are completely ignored by the media. At first glance, the crude oil market appears to be the biggest financial victim due to the travel-related implications of NCOV's asymptomatic transmission characteristics. OPEC is already evaluating the possibility of deeper production cuts to prevent a crash in crude oil prices. But keep in mind that U.S. shale production is already at record high levels and is unlikely to slow down because of the virus. If there's a significant slowdown of global commerce, Russia will have great difficulty participating on equal footing in a deeper OPEC plus production cut. And Saudi Arabia is very unlikely to be willing to bear the burden of production cuts alone. So the path for OPEC to contain a crude oil price decline is paved with obstacles, to say the very least. Estimating the impact of NCOV on global equity markets is difficult. Suppose, for sake of discussion, that the true impact of NCOV is to double the economic impact of the seasonal flu that occurs every single year. By itself, that's not saying much. The impact of seasonal flu on the global economy is barely even paid attention to by financial analysts, despite the fact that it causes tens of thousands of deaths every single year. But what if the extra deaths caused by NCOV were to get plane crash-level media attention instead of drunk driving-level media attention? Suddenly, human fascination growing to obsession could cause a relatively unimportant economic event to become the focus of global preoccupation. When viewed in isolation, considering only the direct impacts the virus will have on global economic activity, frankly, it's unlikely that global GDP will be directly affected in a way that would warrant tremendous downside in stocks. Please remember that anytime a war breaks out, at first, everyone panics and sells stocks. Oh my God, a war is breaking out, sell everything. But then cooler heads realize, hey, wait a minute, wars are always inflationary, and they consume a lot of goods and services in the war effort. The stock market usually recovers very quickly and often moves to new highs before the war is even over. SARS happened in 2003, at the bottom of a bear market that had already run its course in stocks. The market was already oversold by many accounts, and despite its plane crash characteristics, SARS actually marked the beginning of a bull run in stocks. But NCOV arrived at a time when many analysts already thought equity valuations were stretched. Put another way, global stock markets may be far more vulnerable to the appearance of a downside catalyst now than they were in 2003. And NCOV could be that catalyst. So my opinion is that if NCOV leads to a significant sell-off in stocks, it won't be because NCOV itself caused so much economic damage as to warrant or cause that sell-off. Rather, it will be because the market was already overdue for a deep correction or cyclical bear market, and because NCOV simply provided the catalyst and source of fear and panic needed to bring about that already overdue bear market outcome. As I emphasized earlier, I am anything but an expert on viral epidemiology. I wanted to give you, our Macro Voices audience, a quick update on what I've learned so far myself. At this point, we don't even have a clear understanding of what the R-naught value will be for NCOV. Again, R-naught is a measure of how contagious the virus will be. Please be sure to tune in for Thursday night's Macro Voices podcast, which you can find at macrovoices.com. We'll be joined by Dr. Chris Martinson, a PhD in this field, who is also very well versed in financial markets. Dr. Martinson should be able to fill in the blanks, which go well beyond my own knowledge of the subject matter, and help us understand what 2019 NCOV could mean for the world, the global economy, and for financial markets. For the Macro Voices Podcast Network, I'm Eric Townsend.
That concludes this edition of Macro Voices. Be sure to tune in each week to hear feature interviews with the brightest minds in finance and macroeconomics. Please register your free account at macrovoices.com. Once registered, you'll receive our free weekly research roundup email containing links to supporting documents from our featured guests and the very best free financial content our volunteer research team could find on the internet each week. You'll also gain access to our free research library. And the more registered users we have, the more we'll be able to recruit high-profile feature interview guests for future programs. So please register your free account today at macrovoices.com if you haven't already. You can subscribe to Macro Voices on iTunes to have Macro Voices automatically delivered to your mobile device each week free of charge. Macro Voices is presented for informational and entertainment purposes only. The information presented on Macro Voices should not be construed as investment advice. Always consult a licensed investment professional before making investment decisions. The views and opinions expressed on Macro Voices are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect those of the show's hosts or sponsors. Macro Voices, its producers, sponsors, and hosts, Eric Townsend, shall not be liable for losses resulting from investment decisions based on information or viewpoints presented on Macro Voices.